morning and welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 75th and final edition of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. I want to make sure that I thank the good folks over at Prime Publishing. Prime Publishing is the exclusive media sponsor for Fiber Hooligan. And this show is brought to you by AllFreeKnitting.com, your source for great knitting patterns. If you haven't checked them out yet, please head on over to AllFreeKnitting.com to get in on the fun. I want to welcome the new listeners today. Thank you for tuning in and trying out the show. I hope you enjoy it. And of course, I'd like to welcome back our regular Fiber Hooligan listeners. Your ongoing support has meant so very much to me. Okay, my guest today is an inspiring woman who I've known for over 7 years now. We met when we were both serving together on the board for Warm Up America, and since then we have worked on some other projects together. I can tell you from my own personal experience that she's truly a delight. She is a yarn store owner, a very noble profession. She is an avid knitter. She is probably most well known as a number one New York Times best-selling author and one of today's most popular writers, with more than 170 million copies of her books in print worldwide. She has had 5 feature movies and a very popular TV series, the Cedar Cove series, made from her writing on the Hallmark Channel. She is a philanthropist and a remarkable woman of faith. She was my guest on the very first episode of Fiber Hooligan, and I'm pleased to have her as our final guest on today's show. I am speaking, of course, of my dear friend, Debbie McComber. Debbie joins us this morning from New York City. Good morning, Debbie, and welcome to our final show.
Oh, good morning, Benjamin.
How are things in New York?
You know, right now it is crisp and clear and sunny and cold. And just my perfect weather. I love New York in the cold.
So that's why you winter in Florida?
Yeah. If it was up to me, we would winter at our home in Washington State. But my husband needs the sunshine.
I'm with your husband on that one. The South Dakota winters get to me after a while.
Well, my parents were, my parents and grandparents were in the Dakotas. So I guess I'm just kind of, my genes are there. My DNA is in the Dakotas.
I sure understand that, but I was born in Iowa and spent most of my life in South Dakota. And right now I'm just itching to get out to Santa Clara in February to get a little sunshine and a little warmth. I'm just itching for it. It just feels cold. It chills me to the bone, but that's just me. I'm getting old, Debbie.
Well, I have to tell you that Santa Clara was the best Stitches I ever attended. I loved Santa Clara. First of all, it's so close to San Francisco, so I came in a couple of days early and had so much fun in San Francisco, and then drove out to Santa Clara to the Stitches Conference, which was magnificent. If you've never gone to the Stitches Conference, you must go to the Santa Clara one. And that's an unsolicited plug.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So this is kind of a historic episode. We're going off the air, and I'm so glad that you agreed to be on the show. I know how busy you are. It was great for you to sneak me into your very, very busy schedule. It was May of 2013, the last time you were on the show, and I keep threatening to have you back on the show, and now finally there are no more episodes to have you on except this one, so I really do appreciate your time.
Oh, the beginning and the end.
Yes, Alpha and Omega. So we started out classy and we'll end classy.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get right into this interview. I ask my guests kind of a boilerplate question, and this is going to be a very long answer for you, I'm afraid, but I'll ask it anyway. For the Fiber Hooligans that don't know much about you, and honestly, I can't imagine that they don't, let's try the elevator speech. Debbie, who are you and where did you come from?
Well, my goodness. I hardly know where to start. I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a knitter, a writer, a woman of God, a woman of faith. I'm a woman of passions, and knitting is one of my primary passions. Storytelling is another passion. Faith in God is another passion. Family. So cooking, I'm a foodie.
Yes, you are. We get your recipes.
I know. I love to cook. I love to eat. So, I guess I'm just, a best way to describe me is a multifaceted woman.
I would say that's a perfectly great answer. And where do you go with such a broad-based question? But we'll start there. If you don't mind, I'd like to delve into your history a little bit, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
All right. So one of the things I know about you, and we covered this a little bit on the first show, but that was 75 episodes ago, and so I think it's worth revisiting. You are definitely out there. You're an inspiration, and you're talented in so many areas. But the talent that you have, the knitting, grew out of not necessarily always the best place in your life. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes, in looking back, and I think as we grow older, we do this more and more. I can see that knitting actually saved me as a child. I'm dyslexic. I didn't learn to read until I was 10 years old, but I was smart enough to learn how to sight read so that I would memorize the words and I would listen to other people read. And then when it came my turn, I would just read the words, re-say the words they said. And so I got passed on from grade to grade, but I was always at the bottom of my class. The third grade teacher told my mother at a parent-teacher conference, "Debbie's a nice little girl, but she is never going to do well." And I really didn't. I struggled all the way through school. But my grandmother was a crocheter and a knitter. And my older cousins tell the story. I have no memories of her. Both my grandmothers died before I have any memories of them. But my older cousins tell the story of watching my grandmother crochet, and she would be in her rocking chair, and they would sit in a semicircle in front of the rocking chair, just, absolutely amazed at her because her hands would just move so quickly. And she would be rocking and crocheting and sleeping and snoring at the same time. So she had this passion, and I have some of the things that she's crocheted that I just treasure beyond measure. But I think I got that gene from her, that love of craft from her. And nobody in my family knit, and none of my aunts or my mother knew how to crochet a little bit, but she didn't know how to read a pattern. And I just bugged her all one summer, "I want to learn how to knit." And so she took me down to a local yarn store and sat me down with the ladies and bought me yarn and needles. And, to me, they were so old. And they probably were about 40. To me, they were old. But I loved it. And I walked there every day. As soon as I learned how to knit, I would go every day and sit with them and knit. And I knit my mother a vest. And I mean, you can imagine the first project of an 11-year-old. And when the day my mother died, she still had that vest. I don't know that she ever wore it, but she had it. It was, and learning how to knit, Benjamin, gave me a sense of accomplishment, of self-esteem. It helped me in so many ways because it helped my concentration level. It helped my math skills. It forced me to really concentrate and learn to read. If I wanted to do this, I had to learn how to read a pattern. I had to concentrate, and it gave me such badly needed self-esteem. So knitting was a major factor in my youth. And as I went through school, I was the only one in my class who knit. Probably the highlight of my entire 12 years in school was when I was in the eighth grade, and the teacher learned that I knew that I learned that I could knit. And I showed her some of the things that I had done. She was so impressed. She had a little fashion show of the things that I knit with the kids from my class. And I mean, they were just agog that somebody who could barely, pass the grades could do this beautiful work. And that's how I got started knitting.
So it's the self-esteem thing that really resonates with me. The first time I heard this story was at a Stitches Midwest many years ago. When you came and talked to a bunch of inner city kids. And the self-esteem thing really resonates with me. As the father of a dyslexic kid, I know how that can be, how they cannot feel smart enough and how that can really weigh on them. And all the tricks, including the sight reading thing and the memorizing thing. And it's just so important that something else like this happens in your life, so you're not defined as the not very bright child.
You know, now as so many things have come out about being dyslexic, I really think it is more of a gift than it is a hardship, because those of us that are dyslexic are more sensitive, the creative side of our brains is so much stronger. In fact, I say I'm so right-brained, I walk with a limp. You know, if you've read Malcolm Gladwell's book, David and Goliath, he talks a lot about dyslexia and what it means to a personality. And it actually, he makes it sound like anybody who is dyslexic is so very gifted. And you know what? We are. But we're different. And because we're different and because we learn things differently, it's often, you know, it's not fit into the norm of how school is taught. At least it wasn't when I was in school. So it really, being dyslexic, you tell your son, oh my goodness, you are so lucky. You're dyslexic. This means good things for you. And so often many successful people are dyslexic.
Well, thank you. And you've met him. He's a pretty good kid. He's now taller than I am, Debbie. It's been a while since you've seen him. And he's a handsome kid that can fix anything in the house, and has got a work ethic that I just wish I could clone and sell to the world. He's an amazing guy. And he's 18. How did that happen?
Oh, my goodness. It was about 6 years ago, because I think he was 12 when I met him.
Yeah, I know. It's it's funny. Now he can pick me up and move me if I'm in his way. He's built like a linebacker. But we won't talk about that right now. So let's get back to you. So there you were, and you learned to knit. You became a pretty good knitter. At what point, and the story is pretty good, because I know you did not enjoy success right away, but at what point did you decide to start writing, and how did that work?
Well, that is kind of interesting. I was I always held that dream of being a writer. I'm a born storyteller. From the time that I can even remember, my first memories were going to sleep at night creating stories in my mind. I loved making up stories. And so I always dreamed of being a writer, of writing books. But when you have that kind of background, I mean, I barely graduated from high school, and I had such a hard time all through school. It's very easy to stuff your dreams into the future, and very easy to, you know, put things off when you have a dream, when you have that kind of background. See, I married as a teenager. Wayne and I had 4 children right away, and I kept saying, well, okay, I will be a writer when the kids go to school. Well, maybe I better wait until we're financially stable, until, you know, all these different things. And then in 1978, all those years ago, I had a cousin that I grew up with. I grew up with lots of cousins, but David and I were really close. We were just born a few months apart, and we went all through school together. And in those days, believe it or not, we used to sit in alphabetical order. So David sat in front of me, D-A-D-E. So for, you know, the first 8 years of our lives, we sat next to each other at school. And he got leukemia. And I was living in Seattle, and he was in Yakima, where I was born and raised. And he came to Seattle to the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. And so the first time I went to see him, the hospital is connected to Swedish Hospital. And I got lost in Swedish, couldn't find my way, and stopped a doctor. And I asked him, you know, how do I get from here to there? He said, so easy. Just go down the corridor, take the first right, go all the way to the end of the hallway, and walk through the doors marked, absolutely no admittance. And I know I laugh about it now, but it was as God was saying to me, you know, you have to walk through those doors. You have to be willing to push that door aside and walk through without knowing what's going to happen. And so after David died, I told my husband, this is it. I've got to do it now. I cannot put this off any longer. I've got to be a writer. And he was very supportive. We went and we rented me a manual typewriter on a rent-to-own program, and we couldn't afford the electric one. It was $25 a month to rent that typewriter. And so I rolled that paper in that typewriter. I sat down and I thought, I am a writer. And that's how I got started.
And again, you didn't enjoy success right away.
Oh, heavens no. It took 4 books and 5 years to sell that first book. And it was a long road with lots of dead ends and detours and dark alleyways. And, you know, it took forever. ever to sell that first book. But I wanted this more than I have ever wanted anything in my life. And when you want things like that, you just don't want to give up. And I didn't. I didn't give up. And sometimes, I swear to you, the rejections came so fast, they hit me in the back of the head on the way home from the post office.
Well, I think I remember you telling me a story that the very last book, you submitted and you looked at your husband and said, well, if this doesn't work, you know.
Well, that wasn't quite it. What happened was we had gone through, I'd been writing for 2.5 years, and I loved what I was doing. But I was taking $100 a month out of our family budget. It was $25 for the typewriter and then so much money for supplies. And it worked out to be about $100 a month that I was taking out of our family budget when I'm one family income, and I was contributing nothing. But in retrospect, then I realized that I was teaching our kids some of the most valuable lessons of their lives about the power of a dream, about not, you know, fortitude and dedication and not being willing to give up. But I was, and I was happy. I was happier as a wife, as a mom, as a person, because I was doing what I loved. But again, I was not bringing in any income. And in about 2.5 years, Wayne had gone through a period of unemployment. He was a construction electrician, and you oftentimes don't work in the winter. And he was paying bills, and he came to me, and he said, you know, honey, I'm so sorry, but we're just not making it financially. I really need you to get a job that's going to bring in some income. And I know it was hard for him to ask me that, but I also knew that with 4 kids, and they were involved in everything, in sports, dance, music, Boy Scouts, church, that I couldn't keep up with them, keep up with them, manage keeping up with the house, and work 40 hours a week and still be a writer. I was going to have to let go of something, and the one thing I was going to have to let go of was the writing. And so I circled 3 jobs I was going to apply for the next day, and I went to bed, and I just couldn't sleep. My heart was so heavy, you know, thinking about having to let go of this dream. And I thought, well, God, you gave it to me. I give it right back to you. And about 3 or 4 in the morning, Wayne woke up, and he said, honey, are you awake? And I said, you know, I haven't been asleep yet. He says, well, what's wrong? I said, you know, Wayne, I really think I could have made it as a writer. I do. And he didn't say anything for a long time. And then he sat up and he turned on the light. And he said, honey, go for it. We'll just make whatever sacrifices we have to make. Now, I wish I could tell you, I'm just so talented that I sold right away. But it was another 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you got a good man there.
Good man, yes, he's my hero. So, but I decided at that point I had to start bringing in the income I was taking out. So I started submitting and selling articles. And the best I got was Women's Day magazine, for which I got $350. And I can still remember being so excited when that check came in the mail and I handed it to Wayne and he got the big grin because $350 was a whole week's paycheck to us. And he looked at me and he got this big smile on his face and he says, you know, honey, I think it's going to work out. So,
well, good for him.
Yeah, and you know, it was so much money because we lived paycheck to paycheck. We had no savings. We had nothing. And we were trying to figure out what we could do, how we should spend this money, because we never had $350 extra. You know, it felt like we could pay off the house. I mean, it just felt like so much money. And Wayne very wisely said, why don't you go to a writer's conference? You've been doing all this work. It's time to start meeting editors and stuff. How smart he was. How wise. And that was when I met my first editor, who read my book and told me to throw it away.
Oh, you certainly do have perseverance. It's a very strong will that you have there to continue to go back and to find the positive in these moments. Okay. Well, so at some point, your books really, really caught on. And you told me once that when you combined your love of storytelling with knitting, that made it big for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Huge difference. Because knitting is very authentic with me. You know, I have seen other authors who jumped on that bandwagon because knitting is so hot and so popular and everybody's knitting. And so they started writing books. I know one author, very smart author, and I admire her a lot. I'm not going to say her name, but she did something very smart. As a businesswoman, she went online and she found out what are the most popular sites visited on the internet. And one of them was knitting. And so she said, I'm going to write a book about knitting. The thing is, she didn't know that much about knitting. And she had, you know, some impossible thing like knitting a wedding dress over the weekend. You know? You know, knitters picked up her book, loved it, and then realized, this woman isn't a knitter. And so she lost her credibility. But with me, knitting is authentic. I mean, I love to knit, and oftentimes we'll include a pattern in the books. So, and, you know, being well-known in the knitting world, too, because I buy enough yarn to support many yarn stores, including my own. So, in fact, the other day I was sitting in my yarn room. Yes, I have an entire room that is dedicated to yarn, and I was feeling terribly guilty to be having all this yarn and knowing that I will never live long enough to knit it all up. And then God reminded me, there is knitting in heaven. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's great. Now, it's an interesting thing because there was a crossover eventually. In your books, there is featured a yarn store.
Yes, that was the shop on Blossom Street.
The shop on Blossom Street. And there just happens to be a yarn store named after the yarn store in your book.
Yes, well, after the book became so popular, in fact, the sequel to that book called A Good Yarn was my first New York Times hardcover. So that just followed me. That was, you know, you kind of get at a plateau sometimes in your career, and it was the knitting that just kind of spiked my career again, because those two passions, when I combined them, wow, it was like a bomb going off in the literary world, because I was loved it so much, and those two passions just, you know, resonated with the readers because, again, they're authentic. And so after the success of those books, the only yarn stores in our area weren't doing well, and they were, you know, so I decided, and they're far away, so I thought, well, what our town needs is a good yarn store. So I got some knitting friends together, and we decided we were going to open a yarn store. So I put up the money, and we named it, you know, after the yarn store in the book. And it still is. It's right below my office.
It is. I've been there. I've been to your office, and I've been to your yarn
store. It's a beautiful yarn store, too, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous yarn store. I mean, the inside is beautiful. The outside has got the beautiful gingerbread on it. All of the details. The inside has always got something going on. Whoever managed, and I always forget her name. I apologize. Your manager of your yarn store,
Sheila,
right? Sheila does such a great job with keeping activities and everything running in that place.
You know, the highlight of Sheila's entire life is being a teacher at Stitches. She is so excited about being able to teach Fair Isle.
Well, I'm glad she's happy about that. It'll be wonderful to have her with the skin. So the store itself, I mean, there you are in your office, right? And I've been to your office, and there's a yarn store downstairs. And I believe there's an ice cream place downstairs as well.
Well, ice cream, I know this is like heaven, isn't it? Except the ice cream parlor has moved, and it is now a beauty salon. So just as good, just as good. It's a little piece of heaven right there.
And I know you're a yarn store owner. So as a yarn store owner, you go to places like TNNA. I'm sure you were there this last weekend.
And doing some
buying. And you buy, you know, at the wholesale level. And you've got a yarn store full of yarn that you bought at the wholesale level. And yet I have seen you do some incredible damage at the retail level at our shows. It's the draw. You just can't have, it's impulse, isn't it? It's impulse control problems, right?
It is not impulse. It's not. I look at that and I say, I see these creative people, and I support several designers too. Just simply, you know, I'm so impressed, Benjamin, with the creativity and, you know, people that can take a ball of yarn and turn it into something just spectacular. spectacular, beautiful, imaginative, and creative. I do a Christmas tea every year in which I bring all of the top customers at the store to my home for Christmas for a big tea, and we do a show and tell of the things that we have, the one project that we've done this year that we're most proud of. And I'm telling you, I could go and buy every one of those projects. They're just so beautiful and so creative and fun. And when I see those at the Stitches conferences, when I go and I see the stores and the designers and the young women that have taken their passion just the same way I did and are focusing their careers on creating and dyeing yarns or creating patterns or sometimes both, I'm just so impressed and inspired by that. I feel like I've got to have a piece of that myself, because what I'm really buying is a piece of their passion.
Sure. No, and I know that. I know you and I have spent a lot of time, because especially with you, you love to support the young indie dyers, especially the young people. I know that that's important to you.
It always has been, because, like I said, they remind me of myself. You know, I was going to the airport yesterday, and one of the TCA agents was there, and he was talking to another one. He says, "Yep, I'm living the dream." You know, that's, and you know what? It's true. I'm living the dream too.
That's great. That's great. Well, let's move off of knitting really quickly, and let's talk about your current books.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
So, what's come out and what's coming out?
Oh, some really exciting books are coming this year. I'm very, very pleased with them. The first hardcover is coming out the end of March, and it's called The Last One Home. As I've grown and matured as a woman and as an author, I find it harder and harder to write about a young woman falling in love, like in a romance novel. So about the time that I started writing the knitting books, I turned more to women's fiction, hardcover women's fiction. And this is about a woman who made a mistake, as we all often do in our younger years, and she's paid dearly for it and has been cut off from her family, and she's working her way home. She's come out through a devastating divorce and marriage, and she's having to build a new life for herself, and at the same time try to connect with her siblings. Her parents are gone now, and so it's just about finding your way home, and it's a really powerful story. So that's the first book, and then the second book is titled Silver Linings, and it is a Rose Harbor Inn book. And Rose Harbor Inn is a takeoff from the Cedar Cove series, which is the TV series is after, with Annie McDowell on the Hallmark Channel. And it's about a young widow. Her husband died in Afghanistan, and she's also building a new life for herself through this inn. And at the inn, when the first she bought it, her husband came to her in a dream, and he said to her that she would heal there, and then all who came to stay would also heal. And so it's a book about healing and about people who come burdened with problems and life situations, and they find solace and they find peace, and they're able to move away from the inn after their stay and resolve those problems. So and the book is about two girls that come for their class reunion and trying to resolve issues from their teenage years. So I love that. And then the last book for the year, which will come out, the Silver Linings will come out in about August, and probably the middle of October, Dashing Through the Snow, which I always write a romantic comedy. So my husband gave me the idea. We were checking in to do an overseas flight, and he was grumbling about something. He says, you know, it would be just my luck to be on the no-fly list. And I said, what would happen to somebody who was on the no-fly list? So it's about somebody resolving those issues and trying to get where they want to go at Christmas time, having to rent a car and all the adventures on the way.
Well, that's very cool. And these will all be out by the end of the year?
Yes, all be out in 15.
That's amazing. And for fiber hooligans that are listening, the easiest way to keep track of all this stuff is to get up to wmakeover.com, sign up for the newsletter, because that's something I get weekly and I love getting that. And make sure you check these new titles coming out. Now, you mentioned in the about Cedar Cove and the Hallmark Channel. Let's talk about your involvement with the Hallmark Channel, because it feels like you folks have found each other and it's a perfect fit. Now, my own first experiences were your movies. And every year we watch those same movies over and over. They're classics in our house. We just love them. And now, of course, you've got the Cedar Cove series, which I've only caught a couple episodes. And, you know, wow. Let's talk about Hallmark and your multimedia empire now.
You know, it's really interesting. That was one of my life goals, was to have a TV series or a movie on TV and also a feature film. And God's timing is always so perfect. You know, I really tried to make those happen. I hunted out agents. I sent my books out. I did everything I possibly could. And then I just kind of finally gave it up and just said, well, okay, I'll let you do it, God. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen, and you'll take care of it, and I'm not going to worry about it. And that's when it happened. And I owe my entire movie career to a 23-year-old intern. Is that a great story or what?
Great story.
Yes, the producer had been doing a bunch of true life crime stuff, and he was tired of it. He said, I want to do something a little light, a little Christmassy. And he gave her the assignment as his intern to read as many Christmas books as she could find and to choose one she felt would make a good movie. And so she did that, and she took that assignment seriously. She read literally dozens of books, and she came up with Mrs. Miracle, and she gave it to the producer. And he looked at the cover, read the back. He says, I don't think so. And she says, you know, I took this assignment very seriously. And she said, I mean, I've read dozens of books. At least read the story. And if you don't agree with me, then, but just don't look at the cover and tell me no. And so he said, okay, you're right. He read it, and he came back, and he says, this is going to be a great movie. And it has been. It has been. It was the highest rated Hallmark movie almost ever. And they've played every year. And then they did the sequel, Call Me Mrs. Miracle. And they did Mr. Miracle last year. And two others, three other movies now. I have six movies now.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And then on top of that, you have a beautiful series.
I know. The big, big news about the Cedar Cove series is, you know, for the first season, it was the highest rated TV series on cable in that time slot and in the summer. This last year, season number two, it was the highest rated series in all of television in that time slot on Saturday night.
Wow.
So that's pretty amazing.
You know, because I remember when you were on the show, The Fiber Hooligan, the first time, this had not been done yet. And now, as I understand it, a third season has been ordered.
That's right. Yes, yes. And I love Andie MacDowell. She is one of you talk about a classy woman. Last year, they start the filming in March, and it starts in July. Then the series starts in July. Flowers were delivered to the house. Humongous bouquet of flowers. It must have been a $300 arrangement. It just took up the whole foyer table. And I looked at the card, and it was from Andie MacDowell. She said, thank you so much for creating such a wonderful character. And I got tears in my eyes. She just loves this role, and she does such a good job with it.
That's fantastic. So the bouquet, I was watching your videos. Is that where you got the bouquet? So, folks, Debbie does a thing every year. She has a word to live by, to aspire to. And in 2014, your word was?
Light.
Right. And I was watching the video, and you didn't say who it was from, but you said that the 2015 word was bouquet. Was this the bouquet that got you there?
No, that actually happened in March of 14, so I'd forgotten all about it. I was reading a devotional, and it talked about doing acts of kindness during the day, just making an effort to do something for somebody else during the day, and just kind of offering it up at the end of the day as a bouquet to God. And I was so inspired by that. I thought, well, that's great. And then I thought about the word bouquet, but I always ask for validation. I mean, you know, what's going to happen, you know? So if I'm supposed to have this word, because there was another word that kept turning up in my devotion, it was hope. I thought, if I'm supposed to have bouquet, I need validation from you. That very day, I got a bouquet of flowers from my son-in-law. Now, I get flowers at the office from publishers and, you know, agents and other stuff all the time. But to deliver it to the house, and it happened to be the day before Thanksgiving, and here comes this bouquet of flowers from my son-in-law to thank me for something. And that was my validation. So I knew the word that God wanted me to have was bouquet, that I need to think every day about doing something else for somebody else. And just as an act of letting God know, thank you that I have such a wonderful life that I can do something for others. We all can, really.
That's fantastic. I mean, that is just fantastic. I love that about you. I mean, you've always been like that. I remember the thing that touched me the most about our first episode is that you told me that you try every day to be a blessing to the people around you. And I think that's just amazing.
That's my mission statement. I took some business classes, actually through audio tapes, and it talked about the importance of having a mission statement. I struggled with that. Yes, I want to be a best-selling author. Yes, but I didn't want it to be about me. You know, yes, I have dreams. Yes, I have aspirations and goals and all the things that you should have as a entrepreneurial businesswoman. But I wanted something that, you know, specifically said about me and not so much about my career and the other things that I want to do. And I was reading a scripture where God makes his covenant with Abraham. I think it's Genesis 12, where he says, I will make you a blessing. And those words just jumped off the page at me. There was my mission statement. I will be a blessing. And that my books will not only, it isn't about selling well, it's about touching lives, about showing readers that they are going to confront problems in their lives. It isn't the end of the world, that God will see you through, that there is a way where there is no way. And that's what I want. I want readers to be blessed by my books and by my stories.
And I think they are. But, you know, the wonderful, wonderful thing about you is that you're not just somebody who talks the talk. You are somebody that walks the walk as well. You are the official spokesperson for World Vision Knits for Kids program, and you've done some stuff with World Vision. Let's talk about your newest stuff that you've done for World Vision. Let's talk about your trip to Kenya.
Oh my goodness, what an adventure that was. What an adventure. Now, you know, I went there with 15 suitcases filled with sweaters that people had knit and sent to the headquarters in World Vision or sent to me, and then I took them to World Vision, and we had 15 suitcases. Now, you don't think, you know, Kenya's on the equator, but what many people do not realize is that the altitude is very high, and it is cold. It is very cold in the wintertime, or, you know, it's reverse. So we went with 15 suitcases filled up, and we flew into Nairobi, which the flight alone, and I took my two granddaughters with us. We have three, but I took two of them were able to go. And my daughter, Jenny Adele, came with us too. And my husband and a friend of ours who is a doctor came too. And so we went with this team from World Vision with 15 suitcases. And I'm thinking, you know, we are, you know, all of the knitters who have knit these sweaters are blessing these people. This is a wonderful thing that we're able to do. But Benjamin, we were the ones who were blessed. Oh my goodness, the kids were amazing. Every aspect of that trip was such a blessing to us. We handed out the sweaters, and the kids loved them. And, you know, you do not realize how fortunate we do not realize how fortunate we are until we get to like a third world country. We flew from Nairobi to a town called Kitale. And Kitale is a population of 50,000 people. Now, you think about where you live in cities that with that population. They had no roads. They had no stoplights. They had electricity was very rare. When we got to our hotel room, we had no mattresses. We slept on box springs. You do not know how hard box springs are. But it was the best hotel in town. And you know, the people, World Vision had come in. They'd spent 6 years there. They created a program within the town, and they spend 6 years there, and they bring in water. How important water is. We visited a family, a woman who had 7 children, absolute destitute. Rural Vision had given her a loan so she could start her own business, which she did. And so they said, we were invited to her house. Now, her house, they said, was a little ways off the road. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how far it was, but I can tell you right now, climbing the Acropolis in Greece, in Athens, was easier. Quite an adventure just to get to her house. And she served us very proudly, served us Kenyan tea. I didn't know until later, for her to get water, she had to go to a dry riverbed and dig. And that's how she got water.
Wow.
You know, and so proud to show us her family and her home. And we gave each one of the kids a sweater. And they don't have new clothes. And for the joy and excitement on those children's faces to get a sweater was, and then we went to 2 different schools, and we went to a town called Sook. We have a whole new saying in our family now, the road to Sook. It was amazing we survived it. It was up a mountain path when my daughter, she thought we were dying, going to go, because like one time, I'm sure one of the wheels was not on the road. and we now think that was no road to Sook.
Well, that's funny, because I know that what you've told me in the past, the way that you live dangerously is you try lace knitting.
Yes. That is my sense of adventure right there. So it was, you know, so we were so blessed, and they talked about it. If you watch the video on my website, you will see, you know, how the triple darkness, dark upon dark upon dark. And then after Real Vision came in, it was light upon light upon light. And you know, here was my word for the year. And they're the ones that told me that. That is why God gave me that word, so that I could see the difference a knitted sweater can make in a child's life. That was light to them.
That's a pretty amazing story. And again, you continue to be an inspiration. I'm always so impressed. And the thing about you is not everybody always knows all the little things you do as well. You know, back when Hales of Hope was really starting to get going, you helped us there too. And you've been just a friend to a lot of good causes. I mean, that's how you and I met as board members on Warm Up America. It seems like you're always involved in trying to make the world a little better place.
Oh, well, I think, you know, God has blessed me in so many ways that, you know, I'm able to do that. Not as much giving of my time, but being involved in other ways, too. You know, that's one thing I really learned over the course of the last 20 years or so, is that, you know, being a person of generosity doesn't mean opening your checkbook. It's an attitude. And, you know, just looking for ways to be a blessing. You know, like I said, my mission statement, just looking for simple ways to be a blessing. And it's just amazing how easy it is. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Well, that's a great answer. Now, I do understand that following your trip, that you and Wayne did take a safari.
Oh, we did.
How was it?
We did. It was absolutely incredible. We saw all of the big five, and the animals that are the jungle animals, and it's funny because I love rocks. So while everybody's out, you know, stalking the leopards, I'm all, look at that rock. So I came home with bags full of rocks, which we then put in a tumbler. So I have my African rocks, and that's what I do when when somebody comes to see me that, you know, it's just such a pleasure and honor. I give them a rock from Africa that I have picked up and shined. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So this has been a big year for your books. It's been a big year for your success on the Hallmark Channel. It's been a big year for this last year, excuse me. It's been a big year for your books, a big year for your Hallmark Channel success. You had your big trip, but I also know that something else happened for you, which is your team won a Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
I know that was a big deal for you because you were there.
We were there. We were there. Yes, we are such fanatical football fans, Seahawk fans. We have had season tickets since the very beginning. So, I mean, that's a long franchise. And one of the things with our success, with the success of my books that we've done is we have a family suite. So the kids and all the grandkids, everybody goes to the games. We had two tickets, and it just got to be who was going to go to which game, and we just decided we're blowing it. So we signed a 7-year lease, and so for the next 7 years, well, the next 5 years because two are gone, we are the whole family goes to every game.
And so, how was it? How was it being? How was it watching the game live?
Oh. Well, all of the games, you know, are just amazing. But the Super Bowl, oh my. Hey, you want to hear something really interesting? I was just telling somebody, and I've gone to 4 Super Bowls now. When you come out of the game, there are people standing outside the Super Bowl with fistfuls of cash wanting to buy your youth ticket.
Really?
Yes, because people collect them. People want to say, hey, I went to the Super Bowl. Here's my ticket.
Even though they didn't.
Right. So I just find that so interesting. I think there's an analogy there somewhere, you know?
I think so there, too. All right, I'm going to work on that. So what do we think? Any prospects for 2015?
Well, I think that we're going. We have one more game left, and it's between we have one more game, and that's against the Green Bay Packers. And then I don't remember who Indiana is playing, but it's the winner of that will be in the Super Bowl. And I predict it's going to be the Seahawks and the Colts.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not putting money on it right now. We'll wait till after we're off the air before we do any real betting. Well, very, very cool. So, again, you've had a great year. You've had a fantastic year.
One thing we didn't mention was, you know, a lot of people ask me, how do you know when you're a success? And I can tell you now, I have a definite answer. I was an answer on Jeopardy. Now, I wasn't a contestant. I was the answer on the board.
Okay.
Now, that's when I knew I was a success. And Alex Trebek said my name as if he'd read every one of my books.
That's fantastic. You were an answer on Jeopardy. That's how you define success. Okay, now I know, folks. That's how you do it. All right. Well, that's great. So I want to talk about some of the stuff that's coming up in your world here. But I want to start with a 7-day cruise that is you're sponsoring for a good yarn shop. Can we talk about your cruise?
Yeah, sure. It's you know, they're using my name, and I definitely will be there, and I'll definitely be doing the teas and the other things. But it's really about the Yarn Store. It is for the Yarn Store, and there are classes. There's going to be we're partnering with Cascade Yarn Company, and so there's a special. They are doing a special run of yarn just for the cruise, and only those who are on the cruise can buy it. And it's just going to be a fun time, and it's a cruise to Alaska, which is a fabulous, fabulous cruise. So you just couldn't get any better than that.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's doing pretty well. It sounds like you've got over 100 people signed up so far, and you've got some good activities. Where can Fiber Hooligans find out more about this online?
They can go to a good yarn shop.com, or they can go to DebbieMacomber.com, or they can go to Cascade. So there's multiple ways to find out about it. There's 300 cabins. I think that all of the cabins are sold out, but you know, you can come and you'll have to, you can still be part of the cruise, but it isn't with the special rate. You have to pay a higher rate now.
Well, it might be worth it just to spend some time with you, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Benjamin.
So what else is coming up in the near future? What are you working on? What's going on with you and what's going on with the shop?
Well, of course, there's the cruise, and that's probably the biggest news for the shop. And always there are classes and fun things to do. There's always something going on at the Yarn Store. And Wayne and I are planning to go to Italy this summer. So we rented a villa, and so the whole family is going. We're going to spend some time in Italy. And I am writing. I'm so excited about the books I'm going to be writing this year. The stories are so solid in my mind, and the characters strong. So I'm writing that book next. And so, you know, for who knows? This is January. God is full of surprises.
Any chance that we'll get to see you at one of the shows this next year?
Oh, I love Stitches. I would go to any one of the Stitches.
I know you would, but you get so busy sometimes. We don't always get to see you.
I know, that's true too. Life gets very complicated and very busy, but Stitches is my favorite.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I wasn't looking, I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I'll take it. And it's lovely having you there too. You, at least a couple of times we've managed to get out and have some lunch together, which has been nice.
Yes. So.
We never get to spend any time together alone. It always seems like there's so much going on.
And Rick is one of my favorite people. I'm such a big admirer of his skill in the magazine. No, it's a great magazine.
Well, he's a pretty big fan of yours too. Just for Fiber Hooligan listeners that may not understand that reference, she's speaking of Rick Mondragon, our the editor of our Knitters magazine, who is also kind of a big fan of Debbie's too. So, all right, we're coming down close to the end of the show. I've got two final questions for you. Here's the second and last. Are there any shout-outs that you'd like to give to anybody while we're on the air?
Say, I want to thank all of my readers who buy my books because you are supporting my yarn habits. So thank you very much.
That's a great answer. Always to remember your fans, and you know you've got lots of them. Well, heck, I'm one of them. All right, so final question. I didn't give you fair warning about this, but I always know that you have an answer for a question like this. Do you have any final words of advice that you'd like to give the Fiber Hooligan audience before we slide on out of here today?
Oh, first of all, thank you for asking me to be your first and your last, because that's a big honor, and I do feel honored by that. And do not be afraid to follow your dreams. And if your big, exciting adventure of the year is lace knitting, go for it. It's not that hard.
That's a great answer. I think empowerment and not being afraid is the right answer for many questions in life. So I want to thank you for being so generous with your time and for fitting me into your schedule. I know that you've got to run, and so I am going to wish you a glorious week. I hope we get to see each other soon. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being on the show. And please give my best to your family.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was the very gracious and talented Debbie Macomber. You can keep up with what Debbie is doing at debbiemacomber.com, and that's when you're going to want to bookmark. Okay. You know what time it is.
Now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Rivalry Group, and administrator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, Benjamin. Thank you for never having changed that music.
You know, I thought about it. I thought about it. I did. I actually thought about it. For this episode only, I thought about it. I thought about, you know, a couple of different ideas. But no, you know, the kind of music is you, right? You know.
It needs a princess wave. It needs a crown or a tiara and a train. And
how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, good. Are you having a good week?
Yes. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. It's always a good Monday when I get to talk to you. And, you know, even though this is our last episode, as we've talked about in the show before, I'm going to make a point of making sure that we talk to each other on a regular basis, because I need more Tammy in my life.
Oh, I'm going to miss our Monday chats. And I think a lot of the people that have heard about this, that they feel the same way. This has been a Monday institution for us.
It has been a Monday institution. And, you know, it's so funny, you know, and Tammy will tell you this, but so many times Tammy and I get on the air here and we say happy Monday to each other. And has it ever been a case when it's actually been a Monday that we've said that to each other?
When we were live, it was Monday every week.
Right, but since we've been, not been live, is it ever have we ever said Happy Monday to each other when it wasn't actually a Monday?
No.
No. So Tammy and I have been involved in a lie. That's what we've been doing.
Ooh.
A lie.
Doesn't that sound sneaky and mysterious and full of intrigue?
That's what, how I think of you.
Oh, well, cool. That's funny. There's not much not to know about me.
Well, Tammy's one of those people that, Okay, so since this is our last State of the Hooligan address, I'm gonna take it on myself to say a few things. So,
okay.
So, Fiber Hooligans, Tammy has meant everything to me as far as this podcast, and I actually do not think that I would have had the fortitude to go a full 75 episodes without her. And she has breathed life into the show. She has breathed inspiration into the show, and she has created really what I consider our sense of community. And before we do anything else, I would just want to let you know, Tammy, how much I really appreciated everything you've done for me and for the show.
Thank you. It's meant a lot to me to be the number one fan. So,
well, you know, the bad news for you Fiber Hooligans is that you're not going to hit to hear from Tammy every week. You know, the good news for me is that I have now made it my mission to make sure that I talk to Tammy at least once a week, because I still need her. and I have her phone number, folks. So, you know, get over it.
That's funny. That's like saying, I know where you live.
I know where you live. You live in Boise, Idaho.
I can find you.
And it's so funny, you know, because I've actually been through Boise, Idaho a number of times, but, you know, I've never just stopped to see you. But although the last couple of times I've gone to BC, I've driven the Transcan, so I haven't gone through Boise. So, you know, I guess I haven't been around there lately. But, you know, now that we don't do this, I have to, the next time I go up to Canada, I have to go the southern route so I can come and see you.
And see, I'm not the world traveler I wish I was, and so I've only been through South Dakota the one time.
And you missed me.
I missed you.
I know. How is that possible?
How is that possible? There should have been a sign along the side of the interstate. Benjamin's is this way.
Didn't you have something going on that time that like caused you? Yeah, something happened. I forget that we couldn't hook up together.
Well, I was gonna stop by on the way to Midwest this last August, but Michael had his heart attack, so I flew over instead.
That was darn inconvenient for Michael to have his heart attack during that time, don't you think?
I do think so. I'll let him know.
Michael, I apologize. I'm just kidding. We love you. You know.
We do love you. Yeah, we're glad you're still with us.
So, we're gonna get into the segment here in a little bit, but. You know, one of the things I wanted to let you Fiber Hooligans know is that Tammy is very involved with some other things online. And one of the things that she's involved with is helping Marley Bird, our dear friend Marley Bird, teacher at Stitches and the host at the Pajama Party and the host of the Yarn Thing podcast, for which I am a sponsor. Knitters Magazine is a sponsor for the podcast.
Yes.
Tammy's very much involved in that. She does a lot of their social media, and she does a lot of their show notes, and she helps Marley make sure that that's a decent podcast. And so here's the thing that I'm going to ask you. As you're sitting here thinking to yourself, okay, you know, what am I going to listen to now that the Fiber Hooligan's not on the air? I'm going to suggest that you go over and listen to the Yarn Thing. And because Marley does a great job, and she does great interviews. She does a show twice a week. And between Marley and Tammy, that's a combination you can't beat. And just so you know, folks, I'm going to be a guest on Marley's show later this month. So,
yes.
Another good reason for you to tune in. But for all you Fiber Hooligans, you know, I'm going to pass the torch off to Tammy and Marley and hope that you... You patronize them and let them know that you're listening too. It's really important for a podcaster to know that you're listening. It means all the thing. Earlier in the week that, you know, as we announced last week that we were going off the air, we got a really pretty sweet email. I forwarded it to you. I mean, and I don't know how you felt about it, but it kind of brought It kind of made me a little misty.
It did me too. Are you reading it or sharing that with?
I'm not going to, because she didn't give me permission to. But you know, this wonderful knitter basically said that it was a weekly regimen that she would sit and she would find the time and she would knit and listen to the show, and that she felt closer to the fiber arts community for it. And you know, Tammy, that's something we both can be proud of.
Yay. Good. She actually had posted it in my Facebook group. I have a public group on Facebook called Pursuit of Happy Knits. And she had posted a line there that said, "I heard, and I'm sorry to see this happen." And I deleted her comment, which I've never done. But I immediately wrote to her and said, "You know, I really want Benjamin to hear you say that. So could you, you know, post it where he will see it, either in the Ravelry group or in the Chi?" And I said, "We do have an email too. You can email him," and gave her the address. So that's how she made it known to you, so that you could see it. And I'm really glad that she took the time to do that.
Yeah, it was a nice comment. It was a nice email that I got too. And you know, a couple things I wanted to say, because you know, there aren't places in this podcast to say everything you want to say, and we're going to get to Tammy's segment here soon, folks, I promise. But you know, we've had 75 shows now, and we've had an amazing number of guests, and you know, to all of our guests that have been on the show that we interviewed, I want to thank all of you for your time and for your indulgence in our process. And to all the listeners who've listened over the years, I want to thank you too, and know that it meant something to me, and it still means something to me, and I know that it means something to you too, Tammy.
Yes, everybody commenting, everybody sharing the program, it made it feel like I wasn't doing this on my own. And it, you know, it's like a special relationship with your cousins. You know, we are all of the same family, and we enjoy each other's idiosyncrasies as well as their sweetness. So,
yep, that's absolutely right. You know, it was really funny when I was still back on social media before I went on my social media diet. I was on my page and I was putting on a podcast, and there was this kind of plucky friend of mine on Facebook that said, "You should have a Ravelry group, and you should do this, and you shouldn't do that." And the cool thing about that is that's how I got to meet my dear friend Tammy Burke. And so, Robert Hooligans, I'm going to ask you all to tip your needles to her, and thank you for everything, Tammy.
And come to Stitches and give me a hug. I'm going to need it.
That's right. Tammy's now a regular. She's part of our crew at Stitches. So, you know, if you want to see me or her, that's the place to get it done. So, okay, enough about all of us. So, you know, I always look forward to your report. What do you have for us this week?
Stitches. The next event is just a few weeks away, about 5.5 weeks away, at Stitches West in Santa Clara, California. This was the event that I went to for the very first time last year. Can't hardly wait to see everybody.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. Well, it's big.
Yeah, no person in our industry should have to start with the Stitches West, but Tammy did, and that's because that's a big show.
I haven't ever been to Comic-Con, but for me, that was it. I mean, it was just as huge as having gotten to go and see everybody that you've heard of and you loved and you wanted to get to know better, and then on top of that, you get to touch and see and squeeze all those wonderful yarns and check out new needles that aren't maybe not available in your area. I mean, it was amazing, the first experience.
You wanted to talk about the opening day act, right?
Yes. So Anna Zilberg, the lovely Anna Zilberg, who I briefly got to meet at Stitches Midwest in Chicago last year, will be the opening day speaker. Anna is very special. She's, I have the Magnificent Mittens and Socks book. I actually won it from a local yarn store in Portland before I moved here to Boise. She has come up with some great ideas of getting your projects done. The one thing that I really appreciated out of that book was that you could knit a pair of socks with a sole that's replaceable.
Yep.
And I'd never seen that before, and I thought that was incredibly ingenious.
Yeah, I mean, that's Anna, making the useful beautiful. That's who she is.
Yes, beautiful as well. I mean, those socks and mittens in that book, they all have that beautiful Fair Isle design, beautiful color combinations. The book is lovely to look at. Congratulations, XRX.
Well, thanks. And you know the story behind this opening day, right?
No, I would love to learn more about it, so share with us.
Okay, so Anna Zilborg is doing an opening day at Stitches West. And at Stitches West, a brand new book from Anna Zilborg by XRX will be debuting day and date.
Yay! Happy dance! Cool!
Happy dance!
Do we get to know what it's about?
You can jump up online and learn all about it. I'm not going to tease it here too much because there's going to be some more stuff going on. If you want to learn more about that stuff, folks, sign up for our newsletter, knittinguniverse.com/newsletter, and that's how you're going to find out more about this stuff. But yes, no, we will have a brand new book by Anna Zilborg, and a great deal of the subject matter is going to have to do with that book. And so, yes, there is a book tie-in to her opening day act.
Awesome.
And you know, the cool thing about this is, you know, Tammy, as you as one of the inside people, you're going to see this book before pretty close to 99% of the public ever gets to see this book.
Wow. Yeah. Well, just the fact that I know from past experiences with XRX that the author is somebody that we really kind of get to know before the end of the weekend. You know, Anna is a very special person. She's kind of considered a recluse in the fiber community, so not a lot of us have gotten to spend a whole lot of time with her. I felt like when I introduced myself to her that I was kind of overwhelming her. She clearly had her mind somewhere else. and you know, so this is our opportunity to really kind of spend some time learning about Anna. Cool.
You know, well, Anna Zilborg is one of those people that if you get the chance to listen to her speak, shut up and listen.
Yes.
Because honestly, you know, you're not going to hear anything better. I was at an opening day presentation probably 3 years ago where she was doing a presentation, probably just after we came up with Magnificent Mittens and Socks. And she was doing a presentation about some different things that she was doing. It was wonderful. And my jaw dropped open. And it was just this eloquent philosophy of the nature of the fiber arts world, and just, I mean, she's so eloquent that you just can't get past it. And so, you know, folks, for those of you who are going to join us for opening day at Stitches West, you're in for a treat, because I've already seen the images that are going to be up on the screen, and you have no idea. You just have no idea.
This is so cool. That's the best news all day.
Yeah, you know, the fun thing is I get to play AV Geek for the opening day presenters. So what they do is the opening day presenters, whether, you know, no matter who it is, they send me their images and then I help them put it together in a format. So I know what the presentation is before it's going to be there. And so I get this preview look on it. And it's very exciting for me. It's so exciting for me.
I bet. I can't imagine not being in that position to watch that and not getting tickled out of it. So cool. That's so awesome.
It's amazing. So I thought I'd give you that. All right. So what's the other thing you wanted to talk about?
And then Stitches South, just a few weeks after in Nashville, the opening day speaker will be the lovely Nikki Epstein.
See, and Nikki's awesome.
She is. I've actually got to meet her. Did I tell you that? Have I told you that story?
No, you didn't tell me that story.
I went to the Seattle Mariners Stitch and Pitch. This has got to be about 3 years ago. And she was throwing at the first pitch at the Seattle Mariners Stitch and Pitch game about 3 years ago. And when she got up into the booth, I had brought with me the only book of hers that I owned at the time, which was Knits for Barbie. That has got to be my favorite knitting book. You've seen it, I'm sure, because it's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I knew she was going to be there. I was hoping I would have an opportunity to say hello. If there was a chance I could get her to sign my favorite book, I was going to have her do it in pink Sharpie. So I'm I was about 15 feet from the booth. She had just arrived, running up all the stairs to get to the booth from the pitching mound. And I was trying to give her a breath, and she saw me standing there with my book and my hands clutched in front of me. And she did a little happy dance, and I did a little happy dance, and I went over to her, and I was so tickled to get to meet her. And she was just as excited to get to meet me. And, you know, I haven't been on Fiber Hooligan at this point. Nobody knows me. That was an incredible experience. My friend JG that everybody met here on Fiber Hooligan met her also at the same time, and she was just as tickled for me to get my book signed. So I'm looking forward to seeing her again and everybody else getting to know her at the opening day event in Stitches South in Nashville.
Yes, that's going to be a great show. I mean, that first of all, that venue is beautiful. You've probably seen the pictures at this point.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's drooling over it.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a couple of acres of inside rainforest. You know, it's amazing, right? And, you know, I got some news. You know, at this point, I know for sure that our friends Belinda and CC Creech are going to be joining us for a special charity event for that show. And I'll be speaking more about that in the future via e-newsletters. But we have a great, great venue there. And it, you know, Nikki does so well in the South. She's joined us with, in Atlanta before. And it's so wonderful that she could join us for, you know, I've known Nikki since I honestly decades now that I've known her. And she's always been the sweetest gal to me. I mean, she's just been so generous. And I have to tell you folks, you know, not everybody is as kind of endearing and as genuine as Nikki Epstein. She really is pretty damn sweet. And, you know, pardon my French, but she really is. And so every single time I see her, I am genuinely happy to see her. There's no politics involved. And I really love that about her.
That's awesome. You know, you can't, a lot of people I would expect when they're bombarded by strangers, you know, just because they wanted to share their love of fiber with you, I can imagine it would be a moment of hesitation or shyness. And that's not the impression that I've gotten from her.
You know, she's such an important voice in the designer community that,
yes.
You know, anything she has to say is worth listening to, folks. It just is. I'm just telling you, it just is. And the moments that I've had with her privately, whether it's just talking about business or having a drink and talking about her family, are moments that I've treasured. So, you know, Nikki, can't wait to see you. And, you know, maybe, you know, that's what we should do. We should plan on you, me, and Nikki having a drink together.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Something with strawberries in it.
Do I have to have the strawberry drink?
Yes, you do.
I'm not doing it. I don't do frou-frou drinks.
Well, since you're buying.
You guys could have the frou-frou drinks. I'll have a beer, all right?
All right.
I'm having a beer. Don't do that to me. All right. So cool. So we got something. And you saw today, we put out a, you know, not today, but, you know, by the time this airs, it'll be on. You saw that we there's a works package that you can win.
Yes. What an incredible opportunity to get to go to all the big things that are happening at the show. And I think there was a little bit of money tossed in there too.
Yeah, we you know, we decided that, you know, we thought it was cool that, you know, we give a works package away, which is, you know, fairly significant. And then, you know, if you're coming to a show, you might as well have $500 cash, because you're going to blow that in the market in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, yeah.
In
that
a
won't
heartbeat,
take long.
Right. Or, you know, you use it to offset your hotel room, and then the kids' college tuition, you can just always spend at the market, right?
And I love how, even if you've already purchased major purchases of the events that you wanted to go to, that's fine. If you are the winner of this package, that will be refunded to you. Because we want...
Well, that's only fair. I mean, you can't penalize somebody for already being a customer. That's not cool. So we don't do things like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like, okay, some companies might say, you've already spent this much, let's apply this to something else. That's
yeah,
not the point. Yeah.
That's not cool. That's not cool. No. You want to be, you
no.
know, no, that's not cool. No, no, this should be fun for everybody. And everybody should be, you know, if you've already registered for Stitches and you look at this thing and, well, that's not for me, that's not fun. That's not fun at all. So, no, that we don't want to be those guys. So we won't talk about that too much.
Well, this genuinely makes this person the Stitcher of the day, the guest of the day, you know, at this event. So that's right. An incredible opportunity. I hope everybody gets registered for that.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I'm going to treat that whoever wins, I'm going to treat very well. They're going to sit next to me at the events and I'm going to spoil them and introduce them to all kinds of people. So yeah, I hope somebody, you know, so far, you know, we threw out the newsletter and it's gotten a lot of response, you know, pretty popular
good
response. So, you know, anyway, and so it is what it is. So we'll see what's going on. So be looking for some more stuff because I've got some other plans for marketing, you know, here pretty soon, folks. And you're going to hear about that soon. So so what else you got going on?
So two incredible events. That's awesome. Looking forward to hearing all the new announcements about Stitches Texas.
What you're going to hear soon is that you remember how we did the Stitches Camp last year?
Yes.
We're going to do it again.
In the lovely New Mexico.
Same venue.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We're going to do it again. We're going to release information about that later this week, I think. And, but yep, we're doing it again because it was, boy, the people that went there had a lot. I mean, I think I had trouble dragging Mavis back because she loved it so much, but yeah, it was pretty incredible. So, you know, once something works, you know, I'm a dumb enough business guy that if something works, I'll do it again and again until it stops working. You know, but obviously people had a good time with it, and so we'll do it again. So you'll be hearing some more stuff about that too.
That's great. That's great. So lots of things for us to pay attention to and look forward to.
Yep. All right. So you don't have anything else, right?
Nope. That was it.
Great. So we're going to finish this segment out in a slightly different way.
Oh?
Yep. So second to last question, Tammy. Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to make on the show today before we slide out here today?
Oh, my. Shout-out to Benjamin. You know, this was your show. And you let somebody do something pretty wonderful that didn't have any experience, not even setting up a Ravelry group. I learned so much from being part of your plan, and I wasn't going to do this.
It's okay. You're doing fine.
So.
This is a sad day for us. It's okay. It's a sad day for us, but it's okay.
This has been an incredible thing for me, you know, getting to participate in something pretty cool. I mean, you said earlier we've had a lot of amazing episodes. We've had a lot of amazing guests.
We sure have.
You know, and I think that I think the quality of the guests, the quality of the work that you put into it really made this something special.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you.
And I thank you for letting me be part.
Well, I thank you for making yourself a part of it because honestly, I think you kept me going when I was not ready to keep going. So you gave me more back than I gave you. Let's put it that way. All right.
Well, here's the thing. You know, when you find something good and it's encouraging and positive about knitting or fiber or crochet, you hang on to it and you share it with everybody because all of us need that. You know, we sit on the subways or whatever with our knitting and people walk up to us and they mistake us for old grannies that are crocheting when we're knitting and ask us silly questions like, why are you knitting socks when you can just go to the store and buy them? You know, that tears down a fiber person's spirit. But when we have things like this, you know, it's been an incredible thing to get to share and to be a part of and to kind of spread the word, preach the word of, you know, happy knitting. Happy fiber.
Well, here's the thing, Tammy. You and I have a whole bunch of episodes behind us, and those episodes will stand the test of time beyond the date.
Yes.
And so they will continue to be out there on Libsyn or Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, and people can listen to those. And if they inspire one person to do something a little better or be more motivated in their lives, then we've done our job.
Exactly.
Just because we're not putting new episodes out doesn't mean that there aren't a ton of people that we can't affect with the previous episodes we've already done.
Exactly.
And I've decided that for the next 2 years, I am paying the bills so that these episodes continue to live on out in the world. And then after that, I'm going to take the episodes and I'm going to archive them on the Dean Universe site so that people can always have access to the old episodes.
Thank you. That's great. That's wonderful. The Fiber Hooligan page is still going to be up on Facebook. You know, there's no cost in having that there. People can continue to share it.
Right. And here's the thing that I would like to ask those of you who are on the Ravelry group or the Facebook page. Tell us what you're listening to that's good.
Yes.
Let's keep this podcast thing going. You know, just because Tammy and I aren't doing this anymore doesn't mean that Tammy and I aren't interested anymore. I listen to podcasts. Tammy participates in podcasts. Folks, we're not done talking. I'm just not hosting anymore. You're going to find me being a guest on a lot of shows in the future, you know, so you may find out where I'm going to be a guest by going up to Fiber Hooligan. So let's not just stop things, right? You know, it's going to be a little less active, but I would still encourage you every so often, even though we don't have a podcast, the Fiber Hooligan might have something to say every so often.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. So final question. I give fair warning to all my guests. I've never given you fair warning about this question. Do you have any final words of advice or wisdom that you'd like to give to the Fiber Hooligan audience today before we run off the air?
The Fiber Hooligans encourage everybody to keep being happy, keep sharing what makes, you know, what comes naturally, the work of our hands, the color in our yarns, you know, keep being Fiber Hooligans.
Well said, Tammy. I'm going to miss you, hon.
I'm going to miss you, too. We'll see you in a couple weeks, huh?
Well, I'm going to bother you every day on the texting and, like, phoning you anyway, so, but, you know, I'm going
to
miss you in the air,
though. Change my number.
You're not changing your number. Yeah, Superman is going to get totally jealous by this point because I'm going to be bothering you all the time. You know, she keeps me stable, folks, and you have no idea just how true that is. I'm a first-class manic depressive, and honestly, she does a really good job of keeping me sane and motivated. So I want to thank you for another great segment. I want to thank you for your final segment and your words of wisdom, Tammy. I can't say that we'll look forward to hearing from you next week because we won't, but I will tell you that I will look forward to our friendship for years and years to come.
Thank you, Benjamin. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and admin of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Revelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this episode, I invite you to join us on one of our groups. Tammy does such a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you may have heard on the show. As you know, we're ending the show, and I'm going to encourage all of you to make an effort to find Tammy online. I am not in the social media sphere anymore, but Tammy is, and she has a lot to offer. If you're as lucky as I am, you'll get to know this wonderful woman, and she'll brighten your day, just like she's brightened mine. Okay. I'd like to thank Prime Publishing and AllFreeKnitting.com for their sponsorship of Fiber Hooligan. I'd also like to thank my editor, Christine Weir, as well as Simone, Caitlin, Chris, Keith, Stewart, and the rest of the gang at Prime Publishing for all their help. I'd like to thank Debbie Maycomber for being so gracious with her time and for making sure that we had a great first and last guest on Fiber Hooligan. I'd like to thank Tammy Burke for everything she does on and off the show. And of course, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today for the last time, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for all your support. God bless.